The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I think sometimes people like
they get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, they get caught up in the moment and they get so excited and they're like yelling, screaming, running, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Ironically enough, this sweater was given to me by an Australian in a place where it's like the hottest weather.
But in the winter,
they gave me my warmest sweater.
In the winter, it's pretty cold.
I guess so. But this is a really thick, like this is warm. I felt bad when they gave it to me.
Yeah, they
did that whole thing. I was like, oh, this is a nice sweater. They're like, take it. It's yours.
What a beautiful quality to have.
For real. That's it was actually what I
She would do that. Exactly. I was thinking it was either her or Hamdi because like they are like they embody that. Mashallah.
I'm
Hi
never
guys,
that
if
again,
you're listening to this,
welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection podcast.
This is part three. I don't know if it's gonna be a full part about like our specific trade because all we have left is me talking about Medina and our way back. I feel like you have a good story about your way back, but we'll get to that. So we ended off last week with you making your way back, but you didn't fully talk about your experience coming back. Should I talk about my experience in Medina first?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think where I left off was like me getting to Medina. I was talking about like the train ride, the awkward seating, all that stuff. You know, we talked about the barakah last week and like, and you definitely feel it when you're in Medina.
Yeah.
Because like actually everything in Medina was kind of smooth sailing. Like we didn't really have any major issues. We were there for like a good amount of days. I think we were there for two nights, but it felt like 3 days, something like that. It was 2 nights and 3 days because we didn't have to leave till like the late evening. For Medina.
You mean Jeddah?
Medina to Jeddah, yeah.
Did you feel though, like, because I'm curious to know from it was your first experience, right? Like, did you feel the difference between Mecca and Medina when you landed in Medina?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Medina is like a completely different experience. Because
like
out
your
there,
soul
like,
felt the difference?
Yeah. And also out there, like, people don't, in Mecca, everybody has like a destination, everybody has like a place they need to be. They're going in a direction. They're going somewhere. But then in Medina, people, you just go to the mosque and they just sit down. And they just like chill. You see people like sitting down. They're praying. They're like talking. They're just relaxing, right? Mm. And like, and it's interesting because you'll be, you know, outside of Medina. Like out there is like there's a little bit more hustle and bustle. But the moment you get in, even though there's more people there, it feels like it's more peaceful. It's weird. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's more people in that area, more concentrated people, but it seems more busy in the less concentrated areas, or at least seems more hectic in less concentrated areas. And maybe that's the barakah, but it's hard to explain. I don't know. That's how I felt, at least personally. But yeah, when we got there, we got our hotel rooms. And of course, like when you get there, you don't want to, I didn't want to immediately rest. I just wanted to go and see it, right? So immediately I got like, once I threw in all my stuff, I walked down. It was already nighttime, I believe, or like it was a little later. But I was also hungry. And I actually want to make a big shout out to this place. There's a grocery chain. I don't know if it's a grocery chain. They literally have everything. It's called Bin Dawood.
I knew you were going to say that.
I absolutely love Bin Dawood.
Yeah,
Bin Dawood saved me. Because you know me, like, first off, I'm a guy who, I want to be practical with like my food and getting my protein and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And usually what I do is I go to places like their local grocery store and I just stock up on all their like pre-made food that's easy to take out and get and drink, right? Mm. So I'll go for like protein drinks and tuna sandwiches. Those are like tuna sandwiches are good on protein.
Tuna sandwiches.
I love, especially like the pre-made ones. I don't know, they put something in it. Maybe it's just the hella mayo they put in them.
Hold on.
What?
I have to remind you of that one time we were going to Australia and we got those horrid, tuna sandwiches
These ones are different.
Francisco?
Yeah, those dry ass.
They were so bad. Like,
yeah.
The hard boiled egg.
Yeah. The cold hard boiled egg. That was disgusting. Never.
We ate for survival.
You know why? Because I was in white country. Farangi country, okay? This isn't a country with our people, okay? So they you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I know.
They knew how to flavor their food a little better.
The Muzzies,
right?
The Muzzies really hooked
exactly,
it up.
Exactly.
I got you.
And because of where our hotel was, it was actually the Bin Dawood that I needed to go to was on the opposite side of the mosque. So literally it was a 15 to 20 minute walk from there. Wow. But it gave me a reason to actually go to the mosque and check it out. Mm. So I went to the masjid. I like walked around. I just saw the people there. No matter what time you go there, there's going to be people around, right? Mm. So I made my way across. Funny enough, like my wife's sister and her family, like they were supposed to stay in the same hotel as us, mm-hmm. but there was like a whole booking issue and they had to book a new place.
Oh shit.
And it just happened to be like on the other side.
No way.
Which actually worked out for them because that's mainly where the women's side is. Mm-hmm. And it was right next to the grocery store. And mm-hmm. also all the stores that have like the clothing shops, all that stuff was on that side.
Oh.
So anytime nice. I had to go there, I'd make a walk across. I definitely got my steps on this trip. Like, yeah. I got a lot of steps on this trip.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so I pulled up to Bin Dawood at that night and I got like 5 tuna sandwiches. I got like 6 protein shakes because they didn't have... One thing about Saudi in general, I think, they never include breakfast. They don't include breakfast in hotels.
No, they do. What are you talking about?
Maybe it depends on the hotel, but our hotel, like, you'd have to pay an extra fee for it.
Which hotel were you at?
I don't know. Zum Zum
Pullman?
Something. Yeah, Zum Zum Pullman.
They didn't have breakfast?
They had breakfast, but it cost money. It was like, of course, it wasn't a lot. It was like 80 real, something like that, which for us is like $20.
Yeah.
But it was like, I can literally get a $5 breakfast and have double the amount of protein I'll get a good amount of protein in that as well, which is essentially what I did. I got a bunch of tuna sandwiches, a bunch of protein drinks, and I would just like carry that around with me, and either I'd have it in the morning or I'd take the protein drink with me just so I can have it at some point. But that definitely saved me, so shout out to Bin Dawood. Other than that, I literally just like, there's nothing else you do out there just to, like, worship, I guess. That's literally your only objective, and to chill, to explore a little bit. But we did end up, you know, meeting our friend, Warsame, the next day. Mm. And it was, like, 7 a.m., pulled up with his guy, with his van, and he took us around, like, the rest of Medina. Mm-hmm. And he showed us all the locations, like, where the Badr? Oh, my God. Why do you say it like that? You know what I mean, okay? What?
Just say it again.
Huh?
Say it again.
I'm not gonna say it again.
No. The Battle of Badr. You
said the Battle of Badr, where that took place, and he showed us where the graves were, and you actually mentioned some of those places already.
Did I send you guys a list?
A list of the places to go to?
Yeah, I thought I did.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but he took us to all the spots that we would want to see anyways, right?
Yeah.
And we went to this date market. I don't know if he took you there too.
Did he take you to Salman al-Farsi?
Salman al-Farsi.
It was where like the guys on the microphone.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You go to, you pull up to this place and it basically sounds like an auction is going
on. Yes, yes.
But it's just like a bunch of
overstimulating dates. Too, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah,
They have like chocolate dates in one corner. They have the regular dates in the middle. Mm. And... they're all kind of just selling the same thing. It's just who's the better salesman. And I feel like they're all connected anyway. So it's like, you don't feel as bad for like going for one guy than the other. But we went there and then we went to this place where there's a bunch of, I think you spoke about this as well, but there's a bunch of palm trees or d- date trees?
That's where it is. Like, the store is in
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. It's right. It's in the same place.
Date palms, yeah.
Date palms.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Yeah, date yeah. palms. And we got some dates there, the ones that...
Ajwa dates.
Ajwa dates that could be blessed, you know? Might have been planted by the prophet. We just don't know which one.
I mean, palm trees have a lifespan of like 100 years, so...
But they said the one that the prophet planted himself is still there, but just no one knows where it is.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like 300 palm trees. There's a whole story behind it.
Yeah, the prophet planted, I think it was 200 to free the slave Salman al-Farsi.
Was it 200 or 299? It was like 300 or something like that.
I thought it was 200. Maybe it was like 199.
Maybe something like that. And then one of them was planted by like...
Someone fact check us, please.
Yeah, there's one of them that was planted that wasn't planted by him. And that one didn't grow because the rest of them, they grew out. Okay, so essentially the whole story is that he was trying to free someone. And
Salman al-Farsi, that's why it's called.
Salman al-Farsi.
The garden's name after him.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying to free him. And his owner essentially was like, okay, if you can give me a harvest of like this many date palms in like this short amount of time, a time that date palms normally do not grow, like then he'll be free. So... the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like that. Well, he didn't say it exactly like that. Yeah, he planted 200. Oh my god, he planted a certain amount of trees, except for one, and of course the amount that he planted all grew in that time, or at least grew in a very short amount of time, even less than the time that was proposed by the guy. But one of them didn't. Mm. So then the prophet came back and replanted that tree, and that one also grew in time to be able to free Salman al-Farsi. So that's why this place, this garden of palm trees or palm dates, date palms. is considered blessed.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting story, and it was just cool being there and seeing the fountain and the water, how they irrigate everything, how you see they like the water. The trees are in this like... these basins, and they're either drained or filled with water depending on how much water they need or when they need to be watered. So that was interesting seeing how they actually cultivate this. And then of course he took us to the mountain, the Arches Mountain, all those places I already mentioned that earlier. But that was just fun, just going around with him and seeing that, and actually praying at the Masjid al Quds. Quba, sorry. I knew it started with a Q.
It's okay, I got you.
Quba, where actually your prayer there or your whatever prayer you make the there is considered, the reward of that is considered doing an Umrah.
Similar to
doing an Umrah. So that was, you know, basically I did three Umrahs on this trip. Okay, guys? Yeah, so that was really good. And the next day we just chose to... Actually, no. The next day, we also went to a museum that Warsame had suggested to go to. I wish I could remember the name of it right now. What is the name?
It's like a cool building, right? Like Asafia something?
I have it on my drive because I was like self-auditing myself. Recently, I've been doing that a lot. Because you don't realize how much you pay, like how much you spend in a month until you self-audit.
No, I came home. I looked at my credit card bill and I said, oh.
For real.
Here I was thinking I spent like max $500. Nah, that's called delusion, babes.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I literally have it in my expenses. Oh, it's called Dar al-Madina Museum.
Oh.
Dar al-Madina. Well, that's an easy name to remember. I don't know why I forgot that. But yeah. Okay. So that place. And the cool thing about this place is that the person who made it actually like made a lot of like mini figures of... They call them figures or like
replicas
of Medina. Essentially,
oh, cool.
He actually, I think, got the Guinness World Record for making an exact replica of all of Medina.
Like the old time?
Huh? Yeah, like back in the time of the Prophet. Cool. Oh, sorry. It wasn't. I think this one was maybe just from a few hundred years ago. I can't remember exactly when this was made for because he made it exactly to what Medina looked like. Maybe it was 100 years ago. But essentially, he made this. It was like 25 feet by 25 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
And yeah, it's huge. And there's like little figures of every house. They said that like it's so accurate to the point where someone came and was able to point out their family's home on that map.
Wow.
Or on this figure. I know there's a name for it. It's a replica, but there's actually a name for it where you have like a mini representation of something. Someone in a comments will put that in there.
Yeah,
but yeah, he has that, but he also has like the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like his not only his history but the history of Mecca and like how it developed and how like the first Kaaba was made and what it looked like, and then how it like has changed over the years and how it looks now versus how it looked when it, like it's a lot of detail, a lot of detail. And you have a guide going around telling you, okay, this is representing this and this is representing that. It was really, really interesting. So that was another cool place. So if you ever go to Medina, first off, hit up Warsame, of course. Another shout out to him, but also check out Dar al-Medina Museum. That place, yeah, get a taxi, drive you out there, and it's not far from Medina or Masjid al-Nabawi anyways. So if you're staying around that area, just get a taxi and check it out, because it's actually really interesting. I think it was like $30 for the tickets. Yeah, and they have a couple like booths outside of it where we got a couple, you know, just knickknacks and stuff. And there's actually a really nice, you know, the seal of the Prophet. There's like a guy selling
like his ring?
Replica of it. Yeah, the ring, but like the actual what it looked like. They're selling like a replica of that one.
Nice.
And they can get it in different colors, but it's made out of clay. It's actually really interesting. But yeah, that was another positive of the trip. And then of course the rest of the time we just spent going to the Jum'ah prayers and
I got you.
You know what I mean? And it was just, yeah, it was a very peaceful trip. And that my highlights were basically just going into the mosque and being able to pray there, seeing the millions, not millions, hundreds of thousands of people going there, even in subh, like when you go there early in the morning, you still, I still had to wake up maybe an hour early just to get a good spot.
Were you guys there on a Friday?
That's the day we left.
Did you catch Jum'ah prayer then?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately we had to leave right when it was happening, which is what the story that I was mentioning last week. That's when we were leaving, like we were leaving and we were seeing that literally millions of people just walking the street, because you can't drive into Medina when it's Jum'ah, right?
Yeah,
you have to literally park your car from outside the city limits and start walking in, so you see millions of people walking in. That was the day that we left. We unfortunately had to, our train was like maybe a couple hours after that, but we wouldn't have been able to make it in time if we didn't leave before Jum'ah.
Yeah.
If that made sense.
Yeah.
Because of how much traffic there is going in and out of the place. And also the luggage, you can't get an Uber inside there. It's a whole thing.
I get you.
Yeah. So, of course, we went shopping a little bit inside there too. But my focus, of course, was just being in the mosque. And, of course, the main part, I forgot, I don't know how I haven't mentioned this yet, was the Rawda. Thankfully, I was able to book it like weeks ahead, so I wasn't really as stressed. Unfortunately, Hanan, like she wasn't able to find an appointment and all that stuff. So
even through like the, because
she tried
like doing the regular way.
Yeah, she tried doing the regular way where you just do like.
She couldn't get an appointment.
I believe she actually just traded her appointment with someone. Yeah, but still, it was really hard to get in there for women. I could see how like disappointing the process can be for women. And I felt kind of bad because as a man, like I was looking at it even after I had did it, I was like, oh, let me just look at it again, and I see like five spots open for like a couple hours ahead. I couldn't go to it. I wish I could have gotten it for her, but I don't know, I feel like they don't really give as much time for the women, unfortunately.
I think there's just more women than men.
Yeah, that too.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And the process was actually pretty easy. Like, I went there, like, 10 minutes. Make sure, if you do have a Rawda appointment, actually, this is a big thing. Sada mentioned this, I think, even last year.
Yeah.
Make sure you confirm your appointment.
Yep.
I think it's 24 hours ahead.
Yeah. They send you a notification, but it's like, you kind of don't see it all the time.
Yeah, you don't really see it. It might not be, you might not have push notifications turned on your phone. Make sure you confirm your Rawda appointment. And then also, when you are supposed to have your Rawda appointment, get there 30 minutes ahead of time. Don't go there like right at the time that you see, because if you pull up the details, it'll actually, it'll say your Rawda appointment time, but it'll say like your check-in time or something like that. There's a time that you have to be there ahead, because they first get you, they corral you, all the people for your time, they corral you into a group first in like a second area after you after you go through the first check-in, and then they take you to the actual Rawda location after that.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing about the Rawda experience though is they are rushing you all the time, right? And of course, when I got there, I didn't realize how you mentioned that they rush, but I didn't realize how bad it is, because I had gotten in. I tried to get a spot as close to where the Prophet was buried and also where his minbar was. So I was I was able to find a good spot. Literally, like the moment I finished my turaqah, this guy's like literally picking me
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like saying, yalla, haji, wait, yalla. Like he was almost trying to pick me up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't even get a chance to say dua or anything yet. Like mm-hmm. I'm trying to like, you know, be in the moment, mm-hmm. but I just got thrown out of it. And I was like, you know, forget it. I'm just going to leave. So I just got up and I started walking out. And I thought that maybe it's different for women. Mm-hmm. I thought that when you get a roda appointment, it also allows you to go to in front of the Prophet's grave. Like you know
where the golden gate.
Yeah, where the golden gates are. But that's actually a separate thing, which I actually prefer because for men, you can go in at any time. You can go as many times as you want. But is it different for women?
We don't even get access to that.
Really?
Yeah, we can't.
You never get to go past it.
Women can't go there.
Really?
Like the Golden Gate?
Yeah.
No, that's for men only.
I did not know that. Yeah. I thought like maybe during your roda appointments, because it's locked off at that moment, you guys get to go through. No. Oh, okay.
We only are on the side, like where the roda is.
Yeah.
But I guess my one advice is like if you do get an appointment and you're able to go, take your time when you pray. Take
your time.
Because they're not going to pick you up. Well, some, unfortunately, some of the guards will literally like push you while you're praying, which is a little.
They didn't do that while I was praying, but the moment they saw me finish, the guy immediately started pushing me out.
Yeah. Like, I understand their job is not easy either. They're trying to do as much crowd control as possible. Yeah. And there's like thousands of people. Like, I get it. But like, this is such a sacred moment for Muslims all around the world. Like, there has to be a better system.
Yeah. I think it's a very similar situation to anyone who's dealing it with, like, situations where typically, like, there are a lot of emotions, but you just can't get caught into it. Like, let's say, like, a nurse. Like, nurses can get kind of desensitized, I feel, to, like, certain situations, seeing certain traumas, and seeing, like, certain heartbreaks in the hospital.
Yeah.
Just due to the fact that they're seeing it thousands and thousands and thousands of times
and every day
every day, to where you start to forget, like, you know, they same thing with like doctors or cops or just anyone who's dealing with, you're dealing with people in heightened situations, because even like being in a spiritual situation or a spiritual moment, I guess, can also be a heightened situation in a way. I at least it can sort of relate to that, so I can kind of see it. But it was disappointing in a way, but I was able to, at first I was very disappointed because I thought I missed like an entrance to go and walk by the Prophet's grave, like go through the golden gates. But then I realized like that's a whole different area. So when I walked out, then I went in and I was like, okay, this is not what I thought it was.
So you were able to.
Yeah, I was able to go through and I did that the first time. And then I think I went again when I was leaving.
Yeah, like I showed Sabri a video and I was like, when you go here, like record a good video for me. And he was like, why? I'm like, because we don't get to see that.
Yeah.
We don't get to see it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
but The time that I went with my parents last year, we were very we got lucky. Mm-hmm. Because at first, when we went to our roda appointment, it was like the same thing for the women where they make you wait outside in the line.
Yeah.
And I remember they were being like super pushy and like literally like pushing us all together. And then when you go inside the mosque, obviously, like, have adab. Like, at the end of the day, you got to remember you're visiting the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, I think sometimes people, like,
they get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, they get caught up in the moment and they get so excited and they're, like, yelling, screaming, running. And I'm like, whoa. Like, chill. Take your time, you know? So, like, I remember when we were going into the mosque, like, you have to, I don't know what the translation for adab is, but, like,
chivalry?
Respect? No, not chivalry. Like, respect, I guess?
Yeah, respect.
Like, I guess, like, that's the best way that I can translate it. But, like, just, you know, conduct yourself in a manner that is, like, not worthy, but, like, good enough. Imagine if the Prophet was alive. Like, would you be screaming, running, like, acting the way that you are in his presence? I don't think so. So, anyways, like when we got there, they have like batches, but obviously like the groups don't stay together. So it was like more women ended up coming in. There were still women in that area. So I was just trying to get to the front.
Yeah.
But we obviously like you can't push your way through. So where we found ourselves was like towards the very back. So, you know, like here, imagine the Prophet's grave is like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is the side in the roda. Mm-hmm. We were, like, at the back here. Mm. And I remember, like, we
had... So the minbar is, like, all the way at the front
there. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. we couldn't even see it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, like, all right, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's just, like, pray 2 raka, and then we'll try and, like, make mm-hmm. our way up. So I remember we were praying, and there were 2 or 3 other women that were kind of, like, directly behind the prophet's yeah. grave. And they were praying, but it was because that was actually the direction of the Qibla, but, like, the guards thought that they were... Praying
to the
yeah grave? And yeah. so they came, and like I remember while I was praying they started screaming at them mm-hmm. and like dragged them up like while they were praying, and they're like, what are you doing, like shirk, what are, like screaming at them yeah. obviously in Arabic, and I was just like, I don't think that's
fortunately what I haven't seen fortunately I haven't seen any of that
yeah I and there. I was like mm-hmm. what is happening, like why are they like mm-hmm. they're literally like they're just praying in the same direction as all yeah. of us, like I don't understand. Anyways, they moved them. Mm-hmm. And then after we finished our praying our 2 raka, we made our, like, mm-hmm. we actually had time to make dua, but then yeah. the guard came and she was, like, telling us, like, you guys have to leave. Mm-hmm. But she didn't know, like, she didn't see us when we just finished, right? Like, she just thought we were standing there. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, my mom was like, we came all the way from Canada. Like, please, we're just trying to go into the roda, like, into the... Mm-hmm. boundary, like can you let us through, because they had these like line
yeah
things.
Yeah,
so then I think the lady just like felt bad and mm-hmm. she's like, so she kind of just like went like pointed mm-hmm. and then turned her attention to someone else, and
I didn't see you.
I was like, mother, let's go yeah. now's our chance, and mm-hmm. so we were able to like go under the line and actually mm-hmm. be within, you know how, I don't know if Warsemi told you to look for the there's like boundary markers on the pillars.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I know he about? Mentioned it. Yeah. He sent us, like, the map and everything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. like, I made note of where that was, and I was like, let's try and stand, like, within that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are also some scholars that say, like, the whole entire area is considered the roda.
Yeah.
So, like, there's differences of opinion, but we just wanted to be as close as possible, mm-hmm. which we were able to, alhamdulillah, and, like, pray
okay.
there.
Alhamdulillah.
And then I have videos, which I'll send to you so we can maybe insert like a clip yeah. or two of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was very, I was very fortunate to be there.
Hey, inshallah, you guys can take some of our advice.
Yeah.
In like that case, or at least more of her advice.
Stay calm. And just like I would strongly, strongly, strongly suggest, like just take your time in your prayer and try. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of like commotion.
Yeah.
So it's hard to stay focused, mm-hmm. but like just try your best.
Yeah. I was definitely that person who could not focus
properly. It's so hard. I know, because yeah. there's like literally people around you in every mm-hmm. corner. Yeah, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And don't they say like, because the person, was it you who said this? Mm. The person who is, when they do the Jama'ah prayer, mm-hmm. the person who's leading the prayer is in the roda. So technically anyone who is following the person praying in the roda is... technically praying in the roda.
Oh, I never heard that before.
I think Warsemi told this to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I need to confirm that.
Okay.
Yeah. But basically, like, if the person is praying in the roda and you're just joining them in congregation, no matter how big that congregation is, even if it's outside the roda, you're technically considered with the same reward as praying in the roda.
Oh, I did not know that.
So I'm going to confirm that.
Also, yeah. I'm going to get my scarf. I'm freezing.
Why?
I'm
how are you freezing?
Because I'm getting sick.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. You don't hear the rasp in my voice. It's giving you some edge. No, I'm not like, I'm fine.
Okay.
It's a little cold in here, guys. Finally.
I don't feel that at all, though.
I feel like I never get to say that about, you know what? It's also because I'm drinking an iced coffee.
That too. And also, did we ever mention we got a fan in here? Like, I don't know if we mentioned that, but we finally dealt with the whole cold situation or a heat situation.
You know, can I just tell you?
What?
This is so off topic, okay?
What?
But there's certain sounds that bring joy to you. Did you know that? Like when you hear something, like for example, the ice cream truck, it brings you instant joy.
Oh, did you hear the
if anyone knows, this sound brings me joy.
I'm not that deep. I'm not that deep in my like iced coffee obsession, okay?
I am, clearly.
it does remind me of like cold pop drinks too. Ooh, what's that?
Okay.
So, guys, we might be doing a 10K.
Yeah.
That's another story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But what was he talking about? We're talking about the roda. But overall, mm-hmm. the experience of being in Medina was a positive one.
I'm glad.
And it lived up to my expectations. I didn't have like high expectations or whatever, but like it's not that I didn't have high expectations. As I knew it was gonna be good, and it was good. Like it exceeded expectations. That's what it is. Okay.
You saved yourself.
Yeah.
It was getting to like a questionable territory.
Oh, also one thing. Mm-hmm. Before I leave Medina here, so like on the day we had to leave, we were like, okay, let's go and let's stay up from Subhi. Even though normally we do, I think like sometimes we might go back to sleep or might go back and just chill for a little bit, but it was our last like 6-7 hours in there, so we're like, let's like make the most of it. So we all woke up for Subhi. We went to the mosque. We all prayed in the mosque, and then or the masjid. I always say mosque because like, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah, same thing. And one thing, like a little also trick. You know, I don't know if this is good or bad trick to tell you, but like if you go to a hotel and you just say like, yeah, I have someone inside, they'll most likely just let you in for breakfast. Because hey, her mom said they paid, so I didn't steal nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. But because they paid for the room and it pays for a certain amount of people, there's just less people in that room, right? So I literally just walked in, and this the hotel they're in, I forget the name of it. I don't know if it was the size of the hotel. Like, honestly, you don't really, like, I don't take in how big certain things are there. And the hotels don't really seem that big, but they had two breakfast areas.
Wow.
I don't know why. Oh, actually, no, they had one exclusive breakfast area, like, for people who were willing to pay, like, the big bucks. And they had, like, the Commonwealth breakfast area. We were in the Commonwealth breakfast area. But I didn't know that initially. Mm-hmm. So because of how big the masjid is, and like the men's side, where I was so far from them, I had to catch up with them at the actual hotel because it was just taking too long for them to wait for me. So they already got to the breakfast place and I was making my way there. By the way, as I was making my way there, I just randomly ran into like Mustafa Briggs. He was just there. And I realized he was there because he was doing Umrah on behalf of the two people who passed away, Anthony Joshua's friends, mm-hmm. who passed away in that crash in Nigeria.
They're also his friends.
Yeah, they're his friends mm-hmm. as well. And they had this tradition. I didn't know about this. They had this tradition where they would go to Umrah all the time together. So they're like, you know what? Let's keep up this tradition. And this time he did it on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So he was in Medina afterwards. And I just saw him there after. So he was like, you know, like everybody's like corralling out the door. And I just see this tall guy standing in front of me. And he turns around and he looks at me. And like, I just like did a nod of acknowledgement, but I didn't say anything mm-hmm. because we're just all rushing out. And I was like, oh, this was Mustafa Briggs. Of course, I took a video behind it.
I sent it to the family. He's like, look who I saw.
But yeah, that was just a random side note. But
I wonder if he looked at you and was like,
he probably knows.
He looks oddly familiar.
Nah, there's no way.
You never know. Literally everyone in our comments says that you look like Anthony Joshua. So I'm just saying.
Oh, Anthony Joshua.
Oh, you thought?
No, okay.
Oh,
yeah,
whoa,
no, okay.
whoa.
He's really tall. So, you know. But yeah, so I made my way to the hotel and I'm trying to find out, first off, where this like breakfast place is. Mm. Just like everything else in Medina and Mecca and everywhere else in Saudi, apparently, it's like super confusing to get anywhere. So I find out that like it's not on like the first floor, but it's on like the real first floor, because the first floor where the lobby is actually two levels to the lobby, and then there's the first floor. We figured that out. Mm-hmm. And I got to the breakfast area, which is what I thought it was. Mm. I pulled up to the lady. I was like, yeah, my family's here. She's like, do you know the room number? I'm like, oh, shoot. Actually, I don't know the room number. Let me go and check real quick. So I was like trying to message them.
Oh, no.
And they weren't answering right away. So I tried calling. And as she saw me trying to do this, she's like, your family's in there, right? I was like, yeah, they're in there. She's like, just come in. So I just went in to this breakfast place and I'm walking around. I'm like, you know, if you see a dude just walking around and like staring at everybody and like twisting his head a lot, you're going to like be a little concerned or confused, right? So I saw people getting staring at me. I'm like, am I in the right place? I've walked through this whole breakfast place and haven't seen them. So I walked out of there and I start messaging. Finally, they reply and they're like, yeah, we're in the breakfast area. So they're like, we're in. Somehow they told me there was like a second breakfast area. So I go on the other side of that area and there's another breakfast area. And I thought that was the same breakfast area. It was just so big that it was all connected and they had two entrances. You know, sometimes that could be the case, but it wasn't. So finally I pulled up. They let me in. I just told them I'm with these people and I had breakfast. We actually walked around the masjid that time and took pictures in front of the Green Dome and the Silver Dome. Is it silver?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Silver Dome. And I actually went to do my farewell, salams to the Prophet. Mm-hmm. And then we made our way out and we made sure to like give enough time to where the rush didn't start yet for the people coming. Because this was on Friday before Jummah started. And even then, even though we gave ourselves like at least an hour or whatever of time, it still took a time for our driver to get in and to get out.
Yeah.
Because there's just people walking on the street and they don't care about like traffic rules. They're just going to cross. They're going to, so you're going at like a snail's pace essentially. But alhamdulillah, we made it out.
Yeah.
We got to the, what do you call it again?
Train station.
The train station. And we made one like last ditch effort to try and see if Hanan's bags had actually pulled up. Mm. Still weren't there, unfortunately. We got into the train, made our way to Jeddah. I think by the time we got there, it was like 5 o'clock. We had till about the next day. Our flight was like 5 a.m. So we gave ourselves a bunch of time in Jeddah to like go shopping. We pulled up to that Al Abaya place.
Sarafi Mall.
Sarafi Mall. And that's where actually the same place where I got a bake for the first time.
Did you like it?
And it was it was the best. But the weird thing is that like, you know how I mentioned last episode that there wasn't really any like line etiquette?
Yeah.
So I ordered my food and we sat at the table. I'm waiting a good amount of time. I'm like, they're always cooking. Like, there's no way it takes this long to do it. After like 15 minutes, I'm like, something's got to be up. So I pull up to, they have like the main area you order, and then they have like a bunch of like just little lines created. And there are a bunch of people that are just showing receipts, like going like this, like trying to make, and then I'm like, is this how you get your order? Because they had a board with numbers, but our number never showed up. So what you had to do, which I didn't know this, if you ever go to Saudi, just remember this, there's no concept of, you know, first come, first serve. You had to go to that next window area and just like heckle the worker with your receipt. Like, basically throw it at the worker, because that's what people were doing. Not literally throwing, but they were, like, waving it in front, being like, do me. I'm guessing that's what they are saying in Arabic. And it doesn't help that I didn't know any Arabic, because, of course, they're going to try and serve the people who do know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And, like, after he gives orders to, like, plenty of people I've seen who were ahead of me, or behind me, actually, he finally takes my thing, and, like, he starts, like, throwing stuff in, and it's so chaotic that you don't even know if you got your whole order. Because I'm ordering for like 5-6 people. I don't even know if we got our whole order. Alhamdulillah, I think we got everything. But it was just a super confusing and like not really the best experience. So just get ready for that. If you ever go to, if you order from any like fast food place, maybe this place is unique from how it was, but I don't know. It could be something unique to the situation, to that area. But yeah, we did our shopping, got some food. We made our way to Old Jeddah after that. And I think I mentioned that one last week where like it was like all the older style buildings, essentially what Jeddah used to look like, I'm guessing. And they're like revitalizing the area. So unfortunately, there's a lot of like boards up and there wasn't really much to see. There was some stuff to see, but it was also nighttime. So everything was closed.
Yeah.
There were a lot of cats though.
Yeah.
A lot of cats. And they're very friendly. Yeah.
Oh, in Jeddah. Old Jeddah.
In Old Jeddah. There's a lot of cats. And all you hear in the background in the distance is cats fighting at all times. You hear them like, and even in front of you, you'll sometimes see them staring at each other and doing that whole like growl.
Just the sidestep
thing. Yeah, the sidestep thing. And that was constantly going on as we were walking through there. We went there to kind of like find a little bit more knickknacks and some clothes even for myself. But unfortunately, we didn't find anything there. We did walk a little further down and we found like this like bazaar going on, or not going on, but just with, I guess that happens there every night. But it was just too hectic. So we just headed back to the hotel. It was already like 10 p.m. Or 10 or 11 p.m. And I was hungry, but everything, like I didn't want to go to Al Baik. I didn't want anything big. I just wanted something small. So I walked like a good 10 minutes. Oh, also something I forgot to mention. There is no consideration in Jeddah or Saudi in general. There is no consideration for pedestrian traffic. Zero.
Yeah.
Sidewalks, non-existent. Crosswalks, non-existent. Like any type of public transportation, non-existent.
I think they have public transportation.
Maybe they do. I didn't see it. But also like everything if you want to get anywhere in Jeddah or Saudi, I'm saying all for Saudi, but it could be just Jeddah, you have to have a car. Even to the stores, when like going from the hotel that I was from my hotel to the Bin Daoud, which was about a 10-minute walk, there was no sidewalk. So you're essentially walking on like the curb that separates the entrance to the stores to your to the main highway. And this is a highway where cars are going like 100 kilometers per hour. And let's say you want to get to the other side, right? There is no way to get to the other side unless you're jumping over medians, like literal fences to get to the other side. So if you don't have a car, you're essentially screwed in that area.
Yeah.
So I made my walk there. I was like trying to get, I walked into like parking lots as a way to kind of get away from the main road. But there are certain points where you had no choice. Mm-hmm. I went there, got some, like, you know, my tuna sandwich and my protein shake, came back. Actually, sorry, no, there were no tuna sandwiches in this Bin Daoud, which was kind of sad. But I got my protein shake, made my way back, drank it, knocked out, woke up like by the time I made back, it was like 11:30, maybe midnight. Woke up like 3 hours later, got a taxi, made our way to the airport. This time we took Qatar Airways.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a lot nicer. The food was blessed. You know, halal food too. So like, you're not really worried about that. And I still did ask the lady, which is like, of course it's halal. What are you talking about? but that was, they gave you like a good amount of food too. It's like, you feel, it's like hearty meals, right? So I didn't feel like I was starving. But somehow, when I got home, I was still starving. Like, really? I didn't feel starving on the plane, but maybe it's because we're not moving. But then when we start moving, you start you start getting hungry. But yeah, we made it back, and alhamdulillah, this was before the storm. So I was going to get into that. So our getting back was smooth. We got an Uber, quickly got home, and yeah, that was our trip. Oh, sorry, one thing. Sorry, I forgot. And I'm jump back. It's just a little bit, okay? If you're looking for Zamzam water, if you want Zamzam water, we didn't know this. Maybe this is a common knowledge, but if you don't know, you can just get it at the airport.
Yeah.
Don't like try and get it.
Oh, my bad. I didn't tell you guys that one.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Sorry. Don't try and get it from like Makkah or Medina and try and carry it around with you the whole time. They will have it. Literally, there's a booth right outside the terminals or right outside the gates to get into the terminals. And you can buy as many as you want, because all you have to do is when you check in, they'll tell you, OK, go to another booth where you can give them your Zamzam water. And then you can just pick it up. And it's not considered like an extra weight on your luggage, essentially. So you can get as much as you want there. There are people getting like 5 to 10 of them, basically.
Yeah.
Just as long as you have transportation for it when you get home. But yeah, you can get a lot of Zamzam water outside of the airport instead of having to carry around with you everywhere you go.
That's not bad.
No, your story's sad.
Okay, it's okay. Okay, so we got to Jeddah like 10 p.m. Our flight was the next morning at like, I think it was.
Oh, so it's like a similar situation where you just had to get like 2-3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, like we had less than 12 hours between our time there. But we got to our hotel, dropped off our stuff, and then we immediately went to, there was this like market. Think of like Taiwan and Diridoa, that type of situation.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I wanted to go to Serafi Mall, but I was like, let me not be selfish. I know Sebri's not going to find anything there. So let's just go to this market, please.
You mentioned this last week too, no?
I think I told you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you mentioned on here.
Maybe I did. But anyways, we go to the market, whatever. And then we come back to the hotel and realize, like we both realize like, oh my God, we have to like pack all of our stuff because we're going to leave in a couple hours. So thankfully, I have an uncle in Jeddah who was driving us. So that kind of made it easier. We didn't have to worry about getting a taxi or anything. But once we finished, or Sebri went to sleep. I packed up all my stuff, went to sleep for like maybe like 2.5 hours or something crazy like that. And then when we got to, okay, so before I went to sleep, I remember when I was in Ethiopia with his sister, with Aisha, she was telling me like, oh, you're probably going to be so tired at the end of your trip. Like, you should treat yourself and upgrade your ticket to business. And I was like, oh, I've never, like, done
your
that
plane
before.
Ticket?
Yeah, I was like, I've never done that before. And I was telling her the time that me and you tried, but, like, that whole fiasco happened in Ethiopia. So I was like, yeah, I don't know. And she's like, trust me. Like, all you have to do is the lowest bid, and, like, they'll most likely accept it. So I was like, okay. So, like, me and Sebri were talking about it. And he was like, I thought I thought we were on the same page. Okay. Yeah. I thought we agreed that we would just bid, and if we didn't get it, we didn't care. Like, we're like, whatever, it's fine. So I bid. I did the bid when I checked in earlier.
Wait, so you bid on these tickets?
Basically, like, when before, I think is it before you check in? Yeah, before you check in, you get these emails saying, like, bid for an upgrade.
Oh, I never seen those before.
So then I got the email and I was like, okay, like, let's just see. So anyways, I put the bid in.
Can you, like, put any bid?
So they starts with, like, a low bid, like, whatever the lowest on their scale. Yeah. So I just did that. I didn't even bother increasing it. So then I forgot about it. Didn't even think about it until Sebri's like, don't forget to check in. I'm trying to check in. It's not letting me. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's not letting me check in. Great. So then I'm, like, kind of freaking out a little bit because I'm like, I'm not going to get a seat next to my brother. I couldn't remember if we had prepaid to have seats next to each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember if we did that. Like, whatever. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Then I never got any email saying that I got accepted. Or I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get any emails. I didn't know what the situation was.
I'm like, we'll surprise her.
Right? And then I got an email saying, like, oh, we might not. Like, it was such a weird email, but it was like, we might not be accepting your bid. And I was like, okay, don't, but give me a friggin' seat. Like, I want to get on the plane. Because I couldn't check in. Now it's the morning. Still don't have any information on this flight. And so I'm starting to get nervous. And then we get to the airport and Sebri has his boarding pass, but I don't. So I'm just, like, following him. And then the lady's like, where's your boarding pass? Like, what, like, they ask you when you, because we
I thought you were checking in, no?
Yeah, but, like, so we were flying Saudi Airlines. And in the airport, they have, like, a specific section just for that, I guess. It's kind of like Air Canada at YYZ.
Yeah.
Like, at Pearson. Well, I'd say YYZ. Pearson.
Yeah.
So Sebri shows his boarding pass. She lets him in. And she's, like, they're not letting me through. To even go check in.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know, lady. Like it won't give me a boarding pass. Yeah. So I'm trying to pull up my email now. My Wi-Fi is like, my data's slow. And I'm like trying to pull it up to show her. Sebri's like waiting there. And I'm like, hey, you just go. I'll let you know what happens. So anyways, eventually I pull it up and it says, congratulations, you've been upgraded. And was
was that an old email or a new email?
A new email. It it had just gone through like, at the airport.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I guess I'm business. Hey. And then she was like, okay.
No, you did not say that to her.
I didn't say that to her. But she was like, okay, because I looked confused. So she was like, girl, you would know if you're business. And I obviously didn't.
Yeah.
So then we get our Zum Zum water. And now Sebri and I have to separate. I'm like, wait, did you not put the thing in? He's like, no, I never agreed to that. And I was like,
hey, that's on him.
That is you're on
him. You're going to be more comfortable. I'm just saying.
So I was like, okay, fine. Now I have to go through this alone. And I was like, you know what, Sada, just act like you've been here before. Like, don't act, don't look dumb.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, let me just act like I've been here before. So the minute you go, first of all, I did not know that business had a separate check-in area. I thought it was all in the same counter.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they do. They have, like, a priority.
Yeah, no, it wasn't check-in. Even that.
What?
It was a whole other section of the airport.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That because I kept trying to go with him, and they're like, no, lady, go that way. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I go to this whole other, like, private section. There's no lines. Like, just, like, quiet. It was so calm, serene, beautiful. And I'm like, wow, this is really nice. Like, no wonder people pay money for this stuff.
So you don't have to interact with the commoners.
No. And then,
yeah,
as soon as I, like, walked into that area, this, like, worker takes my cart for me. And is just pushing it. And he's like, here, I'll take your stuff. Like, don't even lift a finger. He's like, let me take your passport. I'll check in for you. And I was like,
How much extra was this business ticket?
We'll talk about it offline. So then I'm like, okay. So he literally has my passport, my ticket, everything. I'm standing there and he's checking in for me. And he's putting the bag tags on. He's dropping my bags off. And I was just like, thank you so much. Like, cool.
Check the weight. He's like, whatever. Doesn't matter what the weight is.
No. And the crazy thing is, let me tell you guys, okay? Because my bags were, like, so heavy.
Yeah.
So overweight. I had a lot of, like, gifts and stuff from my mom and dad. I was prepared to pay, like, an extra $200-$300 for my overweight bags. Yeah. Nothing. I didn't have to pay anything.
Talk about it.
Nope. They just put it in
business class, man.
I said, wow.
I have to do that calculation. Like, okay, if I get overweight, but I pay for business class,
it was worth it. So then it was like a lounge looking thing, mm-hmm. but like we had to go. Our flight was soon. So yeah. I'm like, honestly, I don't even have time to enjoy this. It is what it is. So I went straight.
Yeah.
And we went through security. And then like after I was done, like I zoomed through. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for Sebri to finish his check-in. Yeah. Sorry, not security, check-in. And then while I was waiting for him, I saw, like, you know, East Africans, when you guys see each other, like, mm-hmm. you just recognize, it's just, we recognize each other, okay?
Yeah.
So this, like, family, it's like two daughters, a son, and a father. Mm-hmm. I can see them, like, they just finished checking in. I can also see
Sebri. At business class too?
No, they were, like, I was on the outside of the regular check-in. Okay, yeah. So now I'm waiting for my brother, and they're, like, looking at me. Mm-hmm. But they haven't said anything. So
like
now they're
a recognition kind of look?
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I usually, I'm going to be honest, mm-hmm. when people recognize us either through Gizman or through the podcast, mm-hmm. like you all have the same, like you're not slick. Mm-hmm. You guys are not slick. I'm sorry. Because usually it's like you'll do the double take and then mm-hmm. they'll like, sometimes they'll have like a phone to be like, is that really that person? Yeah. Like, is that them or not? Like it's, there are certain mannerisms that y'all be doing out mm-hmm. in public. And it makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, either say hi or just
how old
me.
Are these people?
They were like, they looked like maybe teenagers, early 20s.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, they're walking towards me now. Mm-hmm. And the dad's like, assalamu alaikum. And I was like, wa alaikum assalam. And I think he spoke to me in Amharic.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, how are you? And I was just like, how'd you know I was Ethiopian? And you know that meme where it's like the forehead's this big? So I was like, how'd you know? And I was like, but he's like, oh, so he's like, my guess was right. He's like, you know, he's like, us Habesha people, yeah. It's in our blood. Of course I'm going to recognize you. He's like, but also these are all my kids. And they told me that apparently you have a famous cousin. And then,
oh, so Aisha.
And then all the kids are like, oh my God, dad, like, why'd you have to say? And then,
were they from Toronto as well?
No, they were from like San Diego or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
Somewhere
I thought
in the
maybe
States.
They might be on the same flight or something.
Yeah, I was wondering too. Because he was like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm from Toronto. And they were from the States. Mm-hmm. And then I told him that I was actually Hariri. And then he was like, Amantashi. And I was like,
what?
Okay, not you being multilingual. Like, wow, okay. And so he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, we were in line and then the kids saw you and they're like, oh my God, dad, that's so-and-so. Mm-hmm. He's like, apparently you have a podcast. And I was like, I do. Yeah. He's like, mashallah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like we ended that interaction and then Sebri came. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like that
the
family.
Dad was having that conversation on your behalf?
Yeah, the kids were extremely embarrassed.
Really?
They were like, we're so sorry. Like we saw you. We didn't want to bother you. I was like, it's fine. Like you guys could have said hi. It's all good. Your dad did the
work. He was Amhara or he was Hariri too?
Was he Eritrean or Ethiopian?
Eritrean?
He was Habesha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or was he
just
Somali?
Knew the Amantashi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, cool. But mm-hmm. they were super nice. Yeah. Very nice family. And then once we went through security, mm-hmm. they even separated us for security.
Yeah.
Apparently.
You don't have to deal with regular security.
Which was crazy to me. Like, I was like, what is this segregation? I don't mm-hmm. like that. Like, it made me feel icky. I'm not going to lie.
You felt a little
icky. No. I felt icky, okay? And then once we got through, mm-hmm. then the lines, obviously, like,
business. They had to converge at some point.
You know, they the business class boards first. So I saw Sebri and I was just like, see you in Toronto.
Oh my God.
So we get on, they're looking at my ticket and they're like, this way. I said, thank you.
Wait. When you know how like when you get to the airport, you have to take like a train that goes from like the check-in area to the actual airport, I guess. Did you have to do that?
No. We didn't have to take a train.
There is a train I had to take. Like when you
were
first
you at a different terminal?
After you check in from the no, this is from the Jeddah like main terminal. Like we checked in, like we went through security initially. Mm-hmm. We went underground and then there was a train that took you from like the main part of the airport, or at least where the check-in area is, to where the actual terminals are or where the gates are. Maybe because you're in business class, you should ask Sebri.
No, I'm trying to remember. Like,
yeah, there's a whole train.
Did you take a train?
I might even have it on my phone. Let me see if I have it on here. One second.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Okay,
you're right.
So you did have to
my
take
bad.
A train.
I forgot. Yeah, and then because Sebri, no.
No.
when we got to Jeddah from Canada, but not when we were going back. I don't think so.
Yeah, when leaving, we had to get on a train, like a shuttle train, essentially.
Did I do that and I just forgot?
You might have forgotten. Maybe you were just too, like, you know, you're swept up in the moment of being in business class. Like,
I
didn't even remember half the stuff there because it just felt so light. You disassociated.
But then I don't remember taking the train, but like I do remember getting on the plane.
Yeah. Well, and sure. You definitely gonna remember that far, is that?
So like imagine I sit down and I'm like, okay, I need to again act like I've been here before. Yeah. So I'm like, let me just like slowly investigate like what's the seating situation.
Yeah.
Does the seat go back all the way? That screen looks massive. Oh my god, look, snacks, water, cool. And then the flight attendant, she's like, okay, so also, remember how I told you my bags are really heavy? Mm-hmm. I didn't want both bags to be heavy. I only wanted to pay for one.
Yeah.
But I made my carry-on super heavy, which they did not weigh, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't weigh it.
Oh, yeah. Carry-ons, I don't think they even weigh ours at all.
And so my brother wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I had to be damsel in distress. And literally, okay, you guys know, anyone who has
where
seen
was
me,
the attendant?
That's not their job.
They should follow you onto the plane.
I know, right? But he didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh crap, like I have to pick up this heavy suitcase.
Hey, that's where the gym workouts come in. Okay?
No, literally. Yeah. But I have to tell you guys, there's just this like strength that gets unleashed when I'm traveling. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, it's like a desperation.
My carry-on had to easily have been like maybe like 30 to 40 pounds.
What?
Yeah. And it's 30 to 40 pounds I can lift, but when it's like that awkward shape and I'm lifting it above my head.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're trying to like slot it in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm already short, okay? I'm 5'2". The overhead compartment is pretty high.
Actually,
up.
Yeah, even for me, like, I'm not hella short, but it's not a struggle, but it still takes some effort.
Like, not only am I like extending my arms all the way, I'm on my tippy toes. Like, that's how high it was.
Was there not a man there?
You know, not paying attention to me, no. So I was like, all right, it's fine. So as I'm literally struggling for my life, like balancing it on my head, true African came out. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the flight attendant was like, it's okay, I'll help you. And I was like, okay. So she literally went like this. Pushed it with her index finger. I said, thank you, ma'am. Anyways,
oh my god,
it got up there. And then once I sit down and I'm like catching my breath from that struggle, she's like, can I interest you in a welcome drink? And I said, oh, what do you have? And she gave me the list of options, and I don't even remember what it, maybe like a mango something, I don't remember. But anyways, she brings it.
Wait, so for us, when we left Jeddah, we had to take a short flight to, I think it's Oman. And then we flew from there to Toronto. So did you guys go directly from Jeddah?
Yeah, it was a direct
flight. Oh, okay.
So she brings me the welcome drink and then brings me the menu that you kind of just keep at your seat. And she was like, okay, so for the menu, like whatever you want, whenever you want, just let me know. And I was like, wait, what?
So you can have as many meals as you want?
Yes. So I was like,
how much was this?
And I was like, oh, like, how do I order? And she's like, just call us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, all right, cool. So I am tired at this point, and I'm like, should I eat or should I sleep?
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sleep first. Mm-hmm. So the plane takes off. The seatbelt is not just over your waist.
It's like across
a car seatbelt. And I was like, okay, cool. We had these friggin' like plush ass blankets, a pillow, like it was luxe. I was like, this, I get it. I actually get it. Then, you know, you would think that because you paid all this money that you'd be living like in a comfortable, serene, quiet setting. No, not only was there a baby, there were three of them.
No way.
Three babies.
Were they in the economy area or in business?
No, they were in business. And I said, okay, period. Like, love that for you. But also one of them. Okay. So two of the babies were, one was in front of me.
Yeah.
There was another one. Like, the dad was sitting next to me. And so the parents were switching the baby back and forth. And then there was a lady in front of, like, a couple seats in front of me with her baby looked like fresh out of the womb. Like, this was a new, like, maybe 3 months
max. You probably
max.
Did, like, business class for, like, purely safety of the baby because they needed the access?
I think so. But that, like, it's a controversial take. I don't even know if I want to say it. Hmm. But, like,
I know what you're going to say. And, you know, I kind of agree, too. I'm just saying.
I feel like there should be a flight for children only. You know? Like, I'm just, like, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. I understand. First of all, flights can be uncomfortable for babies. Yeah. Their ears are popping. They don't know what's going on. They're like, yeah. Why am I like uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. I understand. And obviously, I'm not a parent. So I'm speaking from a place of privilege. I am well mm-hmm. aware. Okay. So parents, don't be coming at me.
You know, sometimes we're supposed to have controversial takes. Okay.
But my thing is.
The art of podcasting.
This one lady, mm-hmm. like, I could tell she was probably distressed because she could not.
Get the baby to quiet?
She could not, like, no matter what. Like, she was walking up and down those aisles, like, yeah. And at one point she gave up. She actually just gave up and said, you know what, scream your lungs out.
So the baby screamed for the whole flight?
Like, every like, hour and a half, the baby would, like, either wake up or get startled and just start screaming. Mm. And the unfortunate thing was that when that baby screamed, the other two woke up, they started crying.
Oh.
So I was like, this is fun.
A chorus of baby screaming.
On the plus side, mm-hmm. they give you these over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones.
Really?
Game changer.
Did they actually, like, cancel a good amount of the noise? I know, I think, like, baby's noise, like, it's such a high pitch sometimes, like, it cuts through the noise-canceling.
This actually tuned them out completely.
Oh, really?
Because I was also watching something.
Yeah.
But then when I was sleeping, it woke me up, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I was so annoyed. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat now because mm-hmm. I think I slept for like 3 hours, which like actually knocked out.
The one thing also like kind of like a trick or not a trick, mm-hmm. a tip when you're on a plane, like track when it's hard to do this because sometimes you just fall asleep, but try and track it because sometimes you don't realize like you could have slept 1 hour. You could have slept 3 hours. You could have slept 4 hours and you just won't know if you didn't check what time you were on the flight and like when you actually woke up.
Because
sometimes you're like, oh, I got like 3 hours of sleep and you check, it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have like no concept of time.
Exactly.
On there. So then I woke up and I was like, all right, let me see like what movie selection there was. And mm-hmm. I think there was a movie called Sinners. You know, the one
Michael B. Jordan, he plays his twin. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let me see what this is about. But low key, like I'm not trying to get.
Wait, you never knew about Sinners?
Like, I heard about it, but I never knew what the concept... Like, I had no clue that it had anything to do with vampires. Sarah? I said, vampires?
I don't even watch it and I know what it's about.
I never looked into it. So, I started watching that. And I think the first thing I ordered was on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to tell you what I got? I think I took a picture.
You actually took a picture?
Because I was like, I have to remember this when I retell this story. Mm-hmm. Where's the photo? It was like a Wagyu beef burger.
They had that available?
Delectable. Not gonna lie.
Now I'm trying to like put these like benefits together and it might actually be worth it. You have to tell me the price after this, but you know.
Okay. I will. You're gonna gasp. You're just gonna be like,
oh, okay. If I'm gonna gasp, then maybe.
Like in retrospect, I don't know. But let me find the photo of it.
The price you had to pay was the baby screaming.
I was too shy to take photos.
Ooh.
But it was like a pretzel bun.
You're too shy. Ain't nobody around you.
I know, but I was scared.
In business class.
But then, and I got a mojito.
Oh, you're watching Dune?
Yeah, I was watching Dune. Yeah, I did watch Dune and I thought of you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, this was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I ate, I was like, okay, so I finished my movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to watch, I think this is when I started Sinners. Yep. After I took a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was 10:22 and this was at 4.
Damn.
So I ordered eggs with 2 sausages, potatoes. Ooh. It was like a decent breakfast. And they also gave me like croissants and stuff. It was very nice. And I think I got like a tea. And they kept giving me water in this beautiful glass bottle that
like
I wanted to take
home.
A
new glass bottle every time?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Hey, that's actually better because it's better for recycling and all that stuff, though.
Oh, I didn't take a picture of this. But anyways, okay, this was when I first got on and I was like geeking out, okay?
Yeah.
When I first started Dune. Then
it looks like a first class seat, essentially.
I was lying flat.
Yeah, that's like, the first. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess it's not here, but they had a thing called movie snacks where they give you popcorn, chips, chocolate. And then she's like, do you want like a drink with it? And I was like, yeah, what would pair well with this? And she's like, a hot chocolate? I was like, exactly.
Exactly. I would get... On that flight, I would get off that flight 2 pounds heavier.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
And you know what I noticed?
Yeah.
The bathrooms felt bigger.
What? Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Like, I feel like in a regular bathroom, mm-hmm. it feels so claustrophobic and tight. Yeah. But in this one, like, I had space. I was like, this is kind of spacious. Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't like, though, because all those damn kids were on the plane, they were making the bathroom a mess. It was gross. I constantly had to clean it. I was really upset.
Well, you know, the price of luxury.
I was like, damn, these kids. And then, this was before I got off. I wasn't starving anymore. Mm-hmm. But she was like, can I interest you in some dessert? I said, yeah. So it was like this kind of weird cheesecake thing.
It's like a cheesecake with, is that like almond shavings?
And it was like passion fruit, like some. Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried.
And then I got a tea with it, which was nice. Did they have chocolate cake? Yeah. They had like a lava cake thing. And I was like, oh, should I get this for Amir?
For me?
Like, or like in honor of me? And then, yeah, that was, I didn't overdo it with the meals, honestly, mm-hmm. because I just felt like I had no room for it. Yeah. I was like, where am I going to put all this food? I can't. I wish I could enjoy it, but I didn't.
What did Sebri say about his experience at the end?
So when we landed, our flight was 13 hours, I think.
Only?
13 hours?
Yeah, ours was a little bit longer because we had to fly to Oman first.
Did you have a layover?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, we had not a long layover. Mm-hmm. Like, when we got on, I don't think we waited long. Yeah, we got onto our flight right away.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So we landed, and I had heard rumblings before we got on our flight that there was a massive storm in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, they're being dramatic. It's probably like a little light flurries mm-hmm. or something. No, when we landed and they all opened the windows, and I saw it was just white. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, we're back to reality.
Yeah, for real.
Okay. So we actually had to stay on the tarmac for about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And then once we finally deboarded the plane, but while we were sitting on the flight, we had service now. So yeah. Sebri and I are texting back and forth. At this point, like, you know, there's no more like white noise from the plane. Mm-hmm. It's just silent.
Yeah.
And so the babies are having a field day. They're screaming. Still. They're just going off. Yeah. At this point, I tuned it out. Mm-hmm. Sebri losing his mind.
Why?
Because the kids were like running rampant on his side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were just...
Maybe it's better that we took Qatar then. I had no issues with the kids on the Qatar Airways. Like, I think there was one kid at one point for like 30 minutes. Mm. But other than that, it was chill.
I feel like more like parents are more likely to take direct flights because it's less
maybe
movement, yeah. I think. So maybe that was our bad. Like, okay. Sorry, we wanted convenience. Yeah. But
and one of the also the positives of having a wife or mm-hmm. a partner or something is that, like, you just sit next to each other and, like, you feel a little bit more free. You don't feel like I'm awkwardly touching this person. So, yeah we felt a little bit more, had a little bit more space.
I think Sebri actually didn't, because my seat was the seat that was next to his.
Yeah.
But then I moved. So he had a free seat. Next to him. Mm. He actually had the whole free row.
Really?
But there was a guy that was like, oh, free seat? I'm going to sit here. And he was livid. Sebri, I feel your pain.
At least, but he had the middle at least free, right?
He did, but he was thinking like,
oh, like
I could stretch my legs without paying extra SATA. Mm. but yeah, then we landed. We got off the plane and went through security and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, so we're still separate at this point.
Yeah.
And then because I got through to...
The baggage
area first. Mm-hmm. I'm messaging my brother. He kind of got held up a little bit. And so I'm like, this is odd. There's like so many people. Like, I guess mm-hmm. a lot of planes landed at this time.
Yeah.
And then I overheard like this other lady that was on our flight was asking one of the workers like, hey, like I just landed from Jeddah. Like which thing is our carousel? And he goes, oh, Jeddah? Yeah, 3-4 hours max, minimum. And I was like, I overheard that. I looked at her and she laughed and she's like, did you hear this guy? And I was like, sorry, did you say 3-4 hours minimum? And he goes, yeah, there's delays, like, get comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, like, he has to be joking.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, 5 minutes later on the PA system, they actually say that. Your bags are extremely delayed due to the storm.
That's crazy.
Please be patient with us.
Mm-hmm. But it kind of made sense when you saw how much snow there was.
Yeah.
Because, like, these vehicles are still driving out there.
Yeah.
Trying to get this luggage that's really heavy across snow and ice.
Exactly. And I think it was just, it's cold too. Like, these people are pulling it out of the plane. So then they make another announcement that our Zamzam waters randomly appeared, mm-hmm. but that's like a separate carousel. Mm-hmm. So while I was waiting for Sabri, I went to go get our Zamzam water. Yeah. Like that happened to come out. But then I saw all of the flight attendants are sitting there waiting for their bags too.
Oh, yeah.
And then their bags got dropped off with the Zamzam water. Mm-hmm. So they started doing like ilil and cheering.
No way. Cute. Yeah.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to shout out one of these passengers on the flight because when I was deboarding, remember mm-hmm. my heavy suitcase? Mm-hmm. All I could think about was, how am I supposed to reach this? Like, because the way that the flight attendant pushed it in, mm-hmm. I couldn't even reach the suitcase to pull it out. So in my mind, I'm not joking, I calculated, like, is it distasteful if I step on the seat to get it?
I was thinking about that. I was like, just step on the seat.
Like, I normally mm-hmm. do that. But, like, in this situation, is mm-hmm. it distasteful? And then there was a passenger who, I think he was Arab, mm-hmm. but, like, dark skin. So he came, like, I think he witnessed my whole mental calculation.
Yeah.
And he goes, don't worry. I got it for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thanks.
You know, chivalry's not dead, guys.
It's not dead. So he got me my bag. And then actually he happened to be there when we were getting the Zamzam water. Mm-hmm. He also got the Zamzam water.
Okay.
I said, wow.
Where's Sebri in this?
He wasn't there yet.
Oh, okay. So this is all happening before he came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got my Zamzam water and then I got comfortable. I sat down on the carousel. Mm-hmm. I literally told my brother because he came with a cart and he was about to like wait. And I'm like, no, come sit.
He has so to break the news to him.
Yeah. And he was like, you're joking. Three, mm-hmm. 4 hours. We landed at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Do you know what time I got home? 8.
That's crazy.
8 p.m. I got home.
That drive home was probably like, you guys literally live so far from the airport. That drive home probably wasn't fun.
Yeah. Like because we waited a bit for the Uber. Mm-hmm. And mind you, we didn't have jackets.
Yeah.
So while we were waiting for our car, we're standing inside like the airport.
Yeah.
And I think we only had like scarves mm-hmm. and a hoodie. That's all we had. Mm-hmm. And I was so cold. The walk from just the airport to where the car was, which is like maybe like 100 feet.
Yeah.
Like less than that maybe. I was frozen and I was like, wow, this is the harshest slap back to reality I've ever
for real.
faced in my life.
Even for us, even though it was a week later, it was nice when we got there. But then that week later, it like we were like, okay, stuff's getting real. And it hasn't let up since then.
Yeah.
Like since that day, it has continued to snow. We got another big snowstorm after that. Mm-hmm. It's been like negative 20 degrees every single day.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. The post-Umrah depression, I feel like it was heightened mm-hmm. because of the cold and the snow. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then I made it home and I was very grateful to see my bed. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like very, very grateful. Not that the hotel beds weren't comfortable, mm-hmm. but there's nothing like going back to your own space, you know?
Yeah. For us, it was the you know, seeing the cats again. Because like, I don't know if I mentioned this, but throughout the whole trip, whether it be Ethiopia or Saudi or Mecca or Medina, we have this camera in our, we installed right before the trip because we wanted to check in on the cats. So, but you could also talk to them. So every day, like randomly throughout the day, you'll hear my Hanan or something going, itchy. Like, yeah. They're saying their name.
That's very true.
Because we would just be pulling up the camera, the footage or the live feed and speaking to them. And they'll like get super curious. They'll jump onto the counter to like get closer to the camera. Mm. And we'll like talk to them and just see them. And we like set alarms for when their feeding time was. So
That's
we can
so
see
cute.
Them eating.
That's so cute.
But that was definitely another like fun part of the trip. Just checking in on the cats. But seeing them in person. They're definitely like, even we got them maybe in August of last year mm-hmm. and it definitely took them some time to get used to us. But now after we came back, I feel like they're like super, they're friendly, not friends, but like they are friendly, but they know that we take care of them. They show that they appreciate that we take care of them. Right.
That's cute.
Yeah. They'll sit on our laps a little bit longer. They'll let us pick them up a little bit longer. So that was definitely a highlight. You know, you talk about post Umrah depression. We weren't hit, at least I personally wasn't hit with it as much because like we were immediately seeing the benefits afterwards. Because one big thing after you take a long trip where the time difference is pretty significant, 8 hours, you tend to have like weird sleeping hours. You're still trying to, you're jet lag. You're still trying to get used to the hours. So we're waking up sometimes at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, right? Mm. So as this was happening, we're like, why don't we just keep this going, right? Yeah. And I never thought in my life I would ever be a morning person.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But now I'm a complete more. I'm like,
your life has changed.
Yeah, it's like, you know that song, I Can See Clearly? It's like that playing in the background, because I didn't realize the benefits of waking up this early. Like, you can get so much done so much earlier. Mm. We're waking up now. I'm waking up at, I don't know how it's going to be when Fajr's earlier, but when we first got back, like, Sabhi was like around, like, maybe like 6 o'clock or no, 6:30, yeah. 6:30, something like that. And we'd be waking up at like 5 o'clock. We'd be chilling. We'd be doing like some chores in the house. And when Sabhi came in, we would pray together. And then we would just stay up. We would just continue with our day that way. Of course, it meant that we were sleeping a lot earlier. And mm-hmm. I was always a person, an avid person. I would be the first person to tell everyone that I'm a night owl. Like, yep. I will stay up.
Very true.
As late as I can. And even if I have to wake up early in the morning, I'll get less sleep just so I can stay up later. But now we were falling asleep at like 10 p.m., 9 p.m., something like that.
10 p.m. is even late. I'm like yawning at 7:30.
Okay, that's a little bit much. That's a little bit much, okay? That is giving grandma vibes.
Loving it.
Nah, but 10 p.m. was a good time that I found right now. Like, 10, it's actually pushed a little bit now, like to 11 p.m. Mm. on the weekends kind of thing. But still, that would have been like not even a thought in my mind back before this trip. But yeah, the thing is that I didn't think it would be consistent. Like, I thought eventually we'd go back to normal. But now it's, like, become part of our lives. And you don't realize how much time you're saving because, like, today, we're recording this at, what, 10:30? Mm-hmm. And I've already gone to the gym. And I've done a couple other things. So, like, I don't feel like, oh, now I have to go to the gym. That's going to take mm-hmm. another couple hours. Like, I have so much to do. I have the whole rest of the day to do whatever I want. And same thing on the weekends, like, not weekends, the weekdays. Mm. I used to go to the gym after work, mm-hmm. which would take a lot more time. By the time I get home and I eat and everything, like, I'm like forcing food down my throat before I have to go to sleep or whatever, or I'll stay up late because of the food that I just ate. But now I'm like working out in the morning, I'm praying, then I'm like chilling, then I get ready for work and I leave for work. Like, it's super chill and you're fully awake at work. You don't feel like groggy. Mm. And yeah, so big, huge difference. Yeah. It made my life. I feel like it's related to one of the du'as that I made. So maybe that's just one of my du'as being answered right there. But that's like probably the biggest takeaway post trip from this trip is the waking up early and seeing the benefits of it.
Do you feel like a spiritual, like a huge iman boost?
Oh yeah, definitely, right?
Which because is like perfect timing too, because Ramadan is around the
exactly,
corner.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And like before, you'd wake up for Sophie and you're like groggy, and you're like praying like half asleep. Mm-hmm. But now you're fully awake, you're able to fully take it in, and it just feels a lot nicer. Yeah. So that's definitely like the biggest benefit that we've seen from this trip.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Love
it that. Also gives us a lot more time, like because I was late in the evenings due to going to the gym and then mm-hmm. having a cook afterwards, like you wouldn't have a lot of time with me and Hanan to like just chill, right? Because mm-hmm. she even before the trip would go to sleep at a normal person's time.
Yeah.
So
fair.
I would still be awake for another couple hours mm-hmm. and she wouldn't see me as much. But now we see each other the whole evening.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been a big benefit.
Okay, mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
Good.
How for you?
Yeah, jet lag always impacts me. And I still like, even now, I mm-hmm. usually wake up at like 4. Mm-hmm. And then depending on what I have planned for the day, I decide whether or not I want to sleep until 6 or not. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. But
yeah, it's going to change depending. Even for us, we're thinking like, okay, how is this going to change when
Ramadan comes in?
When Ramadan comes in, I feel like time will be somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. But how much will it change when summer gets here? And Sophie's not at 6:30. Oh, it's at like 4 or 3 a.m., something like that. So, like, do you go back to sleep for another couple hours?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't suggest starting your day at 3. Like, you could probably stay awake for a little bit, sleep a little bit, and then exactly. wake up again.
So the grogginess might come back for then, but we'll see. We'll figure it out. Mm. Yeah, that's for the future, you know? The future is not written. I mean, it's not here yet. It's written, but it's not here yet. So we're not going to think about it.
Future Amir problem.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Yeah, so anything else that you benefit from?
Yeah, I mean, huge iman boost. Like, I feel like the habits that you kind of develop while you're in Mecca and Medina and even Ethiopia, because, you know, Ethiopia, we still were able to like hear the adhan for all of the 5 prayers and like go to the mosque and stuff. Like it was enjoyable. Like, I feel like being in that environment really shifted my entire like outlook on life, my perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, it really had me, like, in this deep, I guess, like, I don't want to call it contemplation, but kind of, like, yeah. I was, like, really reevaluating everything that I was doing in life and, like, is this worth it? Is that worth it? Does this deserve my energy or not or yeah. whatever? And I think it just, like, completely shifted my whole perception. Mm-hmm. But that's also, like, in general with any travel, but this obviously is a specific type of travel. And so I guess it kind of just, like, helped me set my intentions for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And hoping that we go into Ramadan with our full battery pack, fully energized. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? With our full iman.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. But yeah. But yeah, so that was a good three-part series for y'all. Mm-hmm. Hopefully whatever tips or advice we gave y'all in these three parts will benefit you whenever you, inshallah, make your way to Mecca and Medina yourselves.
Yeah.
I know I've seen a couple comments already saying that. Like, how, yeah, I'm just pulling them up right now, saying how they're a big help. So we're glad to hear that. And we see that you guys like it just purely from the comments and replies and the likes and the views and everything. So I'm glad that we could, like, impart this information towards you guys.
Yeah. Someone shared, can you share your book list? I've been wanting to start reading again. Did we talk about books or something?
I'll have to collect a book. I have a book list. Well, like, I don't have a book list, but I have books that I've read that I think people would like.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a book list that I'm working on right now.
Oh, okay.
Slow reader, but.
Yeah. I'm working on, like, reading more Muslim-related books. Mm. So maybe when I get through those, because mm-hmm. I need to get back into reading. Reading's a big thing that I've dropped for the past year or so. Mm. So when I get back to that, then I can give you more, like, a list that maybe some of our viewers would more appreciate.
Yeah, the one mm-hmm. book that I brought, I think, oh, this is what I mentioned last week. Mm-hmm. The one book that I brought with me on my trip was actually a book from that written by Mustafa Briggs called Beyond Bilal.
Oh, yeah, we have that at home, too.
Oh, you bought that one?
I think Hanan bought it.
Oh, yeah. So I started that. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good so far.
I'm going to get into that, too. I was literally looking at it the other day, too.
Let me see. That was from T-Money. Afrah Abdullahi 2773 says, thanks for sharing your experiences. Planning on going soon, inshallah. Can you recommend good food spots for both Mecca and Medina?
Ooh.
If you're in Medina, go to Shuwaya Biladi.
Yeah, that's the only one I can remember. In Mecca, we went to, like, this one shawarma spot that was next to Al-Baik. So if you end up going to the Al-Baik, that's in the Jabal Omar Mall. Or, like, if you go to that food court, directly next to it, there's a shawarma spot. You should go there. I can't remember the name, but it had, like, really good designs as well, at least for their setup, both in the clock tower. At least the one in Jabal Omar didn't have as much, like, setup, but the one in the clock tower looked really nice.
Yeah.
So I need to find out where that is. I think I have photos of it, but I can't. I don't know if I can pull that up right now.
Wafa Al Johani says, so sad that Amir didn't have good customer service, a good customer service experience. Seeing as I'm from Saudi, I can safely say some of us can be a tad bit racist and not willing to help foreigners. So sorry. But at least both of Sada's visits were pleasant. I've been a silent listener from the beginning. And when I listened to your podcast last year, I did not expect you guys to come back to Mecca so soon. So I didn't comment before, but now I am. And inshallah, when you come again, you have to message me and I'll help you out as much as I can. So blessed to have the privilege to be living in Medina. It's truly a place of barakah.
Oh, you live in Medina too?
It's beautiful.
MashaAllah. We'll definitely try and, you know, remember that and hit y'all up because we do. There's definitely a lot that we probably haven't seen from what I've said in this podcast. Mm. If there's something that you think is significant enough that I've missed or we've missed, you can leave it in the comments too and let us know.
DM Sani says, that soccer player is Muhammad Al-Nini, who used to play for Arsenal, but now plays in the UAE leagues.
Okay. Well, now we know.
Now we know. Thanks for that info. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a really nice message. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is from Aya Mia. Mm-hmm. Mashallah, you guys are amazing. She said, your parents are very lucky. Inshallah, they should be proud to raise y'all. May Allah accept your umrah, all your duas. May Allah bless us all to do hajj. Ameen. I'll share this video with my nieces and nephews so they can be proud and strong. Aww. That's very kind. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Very beautiful.
Parents did, they did something right. At least for one of us. I don't know about the other one. I'm playing.
That's crazy.
I say that about the one who's like more successful.
We're both doing well. I'll play. But that concludes part three, I guess, of our Umrah/Ethiopia trip.
Exactly. And if there's anything else that, like I mentioned earlier, if there's anything that we might have missed on our experiences or our trip there, and you feel like it's important enough to mention, leave it in the comments.
Yeah.
If you have any other comments about anything we spoke about here or your own experiences, maybe about the Roda and stuff like that, leave that in the comments. Whatever you want, just leave it in the comments. Hit the like button. Make sure to also subscribe to the channel. Yeah. That's a big thing. We're trying to get to 10,000 subscribers. And, it's just a nice number. So, maybe you can get us there. But other than that, make sure to also follow us on Cousin Connection Pod, Instagram and TikTok. And I think that's it. Thank you again for listening to this three-part series. Yeah. If you haven't listened to part two or one, they're not named part one and two, but the last two episodes previous to this, check them out. Other than that, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.